Chapter 49. The 16th Edition. Those who have been disappointed in not earlier receiving copies of Mrs. Eddy's new, revised, and enlarged edition should rejoice in the knowledge that the delay is for the sake of making the book more perfect in every particular. Christian Science Journal, February 1886. 1885. In the fall of 1885, the Christian Science Church had grown beyond the seating capacity of Hawthorne Hall. On the 25th of October, all 500 seats in their new larger quarters were filled when Mrs. Eddy preached the first sermon in Chickering Hall. The new revision of Science and Health was progressing nicely. In addition to his suggestions and criticisms, Reverend Wiggin was preparing an index. All the students, however, were not keeping pace with the movement. The more intellectual seemed to have greater difficulty in pursuing the straight and narrow path. A few years later, Mrs. Eddy told a class, "It is only by breaking the bottle that the fragments can inflict wounds. The whole vessel cannot injure. There is some truth in all creeds and ologies, but if you attempt to find the infinite in a fragment, you will get hurt. Leave the fragments alone and devote your time to the study of the whole truth, as revealed in the Bible and its key, Science and Health." Arthur Buswell had found the demands of the whole truth too exacting, and in December was dropped from the CSA. Every student had his bout with animal magnetism, and many were defeated. But some came out victor and were stronger for the experience. Calvin Fry related an incident which was probably his own experience, for it was he who supervised the household, engaged the servants, paid the bills, etc., at the college. Regarding Mrs. Eddy's tenderness in assisting a student to do right, he wrote, "I knew a person who served her as steward in Boston. She knew that person was honest. He took the money from her with orders to pay the grocer and butcher monthly. After 3 months, neither one having received any payment, both made it known to Mrs. Eddy. She told them she had given the money monthly to her employee to pay them. The latter was then called to account. He said he had received the money from Mrs. Eddy, but knew not what had become of it. She then sadly recognized the cause, saw he was the victim of malicious mental malpractice, rebuked him sternly, and pointed out the consequences of his yielding to this sin. The grocer and butcher advised Mrs. Eddy not to have too much charity. They thought it was unreasonable. She settled the matter by paying their bills, and nothing further was said on the subject. She believed that that student, left to himself, was strictly honest. He offered to refund the missing money to her, but her sympathy with his situation made her refuse it. It were needless to add this student was saved from becoming again the victim of this infernal spell." Sometime after, the 15th of November, Mr. Wiggin and the printer of the new edition of Science and Health were beset with a problem, but it was not because of animal magnetism. It was, in fact, for a very opposite reason. The Woman's Overcoming of Animal Magnetism in the World. The chapter entitled Demonology, which she had reduced in size for the previous revision, she had enlarged considerably and renamed Animal Magnetism for the forthcoming 16th edition. When her Peter appeared in the person of Ira Oscar Knapp, she could sound a new note and lead her students up higher. She could also cease the personal warfare with the Judases that hounded her footsteps. Kennedy, Ahrens, Swartz, etc. At a later date, she wrote in answer to the question, "How shall I treat malicious animal magnetism? The hour has passed for this evil to be treated personally, but it should have been so dealt with at the outset. This growing sin must now be dealt with as evil, and not as an evil doer or personality." Mrs. Eddy always listened for God's voice. For 13 years, she had been directed to deal with the personality of the evildoer, and had followed that direction faithfully. A number of pages that were now in press were devoted to the exposure and denunciation of the malpractitioners. The new edition was not only in type, but cast. When mind bade the revelator to cease the personal warfare and turn her face in another direction. At this stage of production, it was not an easy task to make changes, but Mrs. Eddy hesitated not to follow God's direction at any cost. So the new edition was stopped. Mr. Wiggin, under the nom de plume, Fair Play, later wrote of this period, "Whatever is to be Mrs. Eddy's future reputation, time will show. Little cares she, if only through her work the truth may be glorified." More than once in her earnestness, she has reached her bottom dollar. But the interest of the world to hear her word has always filled her coffers anew. Within a few months, she has made sacrifices from which most authors would have shrunk to ensure the moral rightness of her book. Day after day flew by, and weeks lengthened into months. From every quarter came important missives of inquiry and mercantile reproach. Hundreds of dollars were sunk in a bottomless sea of corrections. Yet not till the authoress was satisfied that her duty was wholly done would she allow printer and binder to send forth her book to the world. The new revised edition in one volume was reviewed in the journal for January 1886, and an apology for its delay appeared in the February issue. When it finally came forth, the table of contents read in part, Chapter 6, Animal Magnetism, page 211. 6 Wayside Hints, Supplementary, 224. Chapter 7, Imposition and Demonstration, page 234. The personal handling of animal magnetism had been deleted from that chapter, and 10 pages devoted to a new topic under the title Wayside Hints. The first hint was from Jeremiah, quote, "They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward." End quote. Mrs. Eddy had found one student who had turned his face toward Zion, so now she could lead toward the holy city, which lieth foursquare. New Jerusalem had always been in the glossary, but after the inclusion of wayside hints to the holy city, another change was made in subsequent editions. The frontispiece, a picture of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter, was changed to a portrait of Mary Baker Eddy.